After the end of the Second World War, it was often very difficult to catch and bring Nazi war criminals and their collaborators to justice. Historian Wojciech Kinsel from the Czech Academy of Sciences has written a new book entitled Beasts, Czechoslovakia and the Persecution of Nazi Criminals, that explores the Czechoslovak side of this endeavour. Tom McEncroe spoke to Mr. Kinsel and began by asking him when the Allies, including Czechoslovakia, first committed to bringing Nazi war criminals to justice.
Long before the defeat of Nazi Germany in 1942, the Allied governments agreed to punish war criminals, so be they Nazis or their domestic collaborators. The level of violence was unprecedented and could not be overlooked for the second time in the 20th century. Mass shooting, gas chambers, killing of children. It's interesting, in the World War II died more than 12 million children. It was beyond all conceivable rules of humanity.
If you had to divide the phases of pursuing war criminals after World War II, what would they be, internationally and in Czechoslovakia perhaps?
So in 1945 till 1955, most war criminals were searched, sentenced and released to. A new wave of search began in the Eastern and Western blocs in the end of 1950s, and especially 1960 after the capture of Adolf Eichmann. The largest part of wanted war criminals lived in the Federal Republic of Germany, where intensive search and investigation of criminals took place in 1965 till 1980. In Democratic Republic of Germany and in Austria, the search was more or less random. Only after the fall of the Iron Curtain in 1990 did the third wave of prosecution of criminals open, as the exchange of information was greatly simplified and some propaganda and political barriers fell.
You mentioned the Iron Curtain, which of course existed for over 40 years after the war. What role did the Eastern Bloc play in these efforts and in this sort of specific context of the Eastern Bloc, Czechoslovakia?
Four states have taken the initiative to prosecute war criminals. In the first place was it Poland, which suffered the greatest losses in the World War II. Furthermore, Czechoslovakia, East Germany and Soviet Union itself. Each state led prosecutions with different motives. Mostly, the main motivation was foreign policy and propaganda of the communist regimes against the West democracies.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and it just comes to mind, of course. Could one say that perhaps some of the prosecution of war criminals was slowed down, precisely perhaps because, at least in the Eastern Bloc states, although I imagine so must have been in Western states as well, for example, intelligence agencies wanted to use this sort of compromat to secure them as agents?
A lot of Nazi war criminals who lived in West Germany or in Austria, they were policemen in the time of the Protectorate Bohemia and Moravia. It means they had very good experiences with the police job. Such people lived after the war in West Germany and they were really war criminals, and the Czechoslovakia had information about their war crimes. If these people could be blackmailed, the West Germany or Czechoslovakia could use them for the job as agents of the Czechoslovaks or communist state security.
If we go a bit back and we go right at the end of the war, where, of course, there were these infamous people's courts, between 1945 and 1947, there was more than 132,000 criminal complaints issued in connection to war crimes committed on Czech lands during the war. I was wondering, is it possible to say how fair these proceedings were? Because, of course, this was a time of moving Germans out of the country, time of a loss of hatred against the Germans for what was committed. You know, do we have any statistics which sort of show us, was this aimed just solely at Germans, or was there also Czechs who had collaborated with the Nazis who were brought to justice?
In the end, approximately 40,000 cases were pending before the courts. which were considered between 1945 till 1947. We can say that in this turbulent time, certain principles of the rule of law were still respected. However, the quality of the decisions was very different depending on the level of the different chambers of justice. Anyway, over 700 offenders were executed and over 700 were sentenced to life imprisonment. It was one of the hardest post-war retribution in Europe.
Interesting. What was the sort of majority crime that was reported, I was wondering?
Most of them were accomplices to the murder, either directly in prisons and executions, but a number of criminals were denominators and confidants of Gestapo.
Is there any particular crime when you were researching this book which really shocked you?
It was the murder of 21 Hungarian Jews near Mikulov. It's a small town in the southeast of Bohemia. One half of them were men and half women, including a 10-year-old girl. A group of local German gendarmes brought them from a local brick factory to a Duke grave and shot them there. It was the 14th April 1945. Just a few days later arrived in Mikulov units of the Red Army. Some of the perpetrators have described their inhuman behavior and abhorrence in detail, and nobody of them, only one, was sentenced to 5 years jail after the war. The other perpetrators were released in West Germany in 1960s. And the brutality and why such a brutality in the end of the war? The Germans hurt the Red Army fighters. They were really some kilometers, some miles from this town away, and there was not reason to kill such people. And they used not only the guns, but they used the sticks to kill them. It was really brutal, and it takes some minute, some 10 or 15 minutes time. So it means the last victim was the 10-year-old girl.
Damn, that's heavy. Actually, makes me think of another question. There was a very interesting passage in this book where you're talking about Alexander Kerebelets, a guard at a Nazi concentration camp who killed many people. He was a Czechoslovak citizen and was later sentenced to 14 years in jail. And actually, during the investigation, they were saying what was sort of characteristics that some of the Nazis picked out, you know, that these guards to be, what sort of characteristics they had. For example, low intelligence, and they wanted to impress their guards, am I correct? And sort of, I was wondering, was this organized in any way? Were the Nazis saying, like, you should look out for these people? Or was this just something that just happened during the war that, you know, these people would tend to be picked?
Alexander Kerebelets was found in the year 1964, and this man was a guard in the Mauthausen concentration camp. It's a very interesting person because after the war he was in the normally family, he had 5 children, and he was normally worked in a factory in the north Bohemia. This man was absolutely normal. But in the war between the 1939 and 1945, he killed hundreds of people, Polish people, in this concentration camp. It's only one psychological profile was conducted during the investigation, and no deviances was detected there. It's interesting. And by all of these people, by all of these war criminals, we cannot find sexually deprivation or something like that. What could explain their brutality or sadism? It's interesting. So these people were normal. So we can repeat it. In these societies, we can repeat this brutality because it's not dependent on the characters of these people or on their deprivation. It's dependent on the political situation and on the meaning in the society.
On the rear side of the book's cover, there is a sort of warning that such crimes could happen again. Do you see this as more possible in the current sort of international climate when multilateral cooperation is being tested by some world leaders and there is also this shift to sort of renewed multipolarity rather than a unipolar world order? Or is this sort of a timeless phenomenon, these crimes, or was this really characteristic of that sort of ideological clash?
War crimes and crimes against humanity are constantly occurring, but civilized countries must guarantee that they will be punished those who violate elementary human freedoms, the right to life. Today we know what sequence of circumstances led to the start of the war, what manifestations of human hatred society tolerated and let grow up. Criminals can grow anyway, anywhere, anytime today. States are obliged to prevent the manifestation of hate at the very beginning and not to wait for everyone to overcome their heads.
Wojciech Kinsel from the Czech Academy of Sciences, who was speaking there to Tom McEncrow.